don't care if everyone in the world believes that. I won't believe it. I don't believe you have to be a member of a church.
Amen.
Being a member of a church family is where it ought to be, not a church organization or a church business.
Amen.
But being a member of a church family is a blessing.
Amen.
Not a requirement for salvation.
Amen.
And so on and so on. You say, well, I bring that up because if you go on the street and talk to people when they talk about being saved and going to heaven, that's the things they bring up. None of those have anything to do with being saved. And verse 39, he's going to ignore those rebuking him. I have been rebuked for believing not just that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I've been rebuked by professing Christians for believing that Jesus himself is God. I've been rebuked publicly, online, for teaching and preaching the Trinity by people who call themselves Bible-believing King James-only Baptist.
Wow.
There's a growing number of goofballs out there.
Yeah.
I've been rebuked for believing that the rapture's imminent and believing that the church will not go through the tribulation period. There are empty pews today because it won't go along with this or that doctrine like that, and I just tell them, you can believe whatever you want. I don't believe it. I believe what I believe because of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's how this blind man, that was his attitude. Don't let others get between you and Jesus. How many of you have been told you're too radical?
Yeah.
Well, shame on the rest of you. Try again. How many have been told you're too radical? Because
sure.
If you're not doing it right. I mean, if you're doing it right, everybody's going to think you're a nut. Amen. Amen. Yeah, someone says, this guy over here is crazy. I said, well, bring him to BBF. He'll fit right in. And we're mixed nuts, assorted nuts.
Yes.
I guess that makes me the head nut. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what's missing in the life of even a lot of professing Christians. Their heart's not really in it. When your heart's in it, you're not only going to find God, because the truth is, he's after you.
Amen.
That's why it says repent toward God, because he's already after you. All you got to do is turn toward him. He's already coming after you.
Yep.
So if you repent toward God, you're going to find him.
Amen.
But a lot of people, even professing Christians, are going the wrong way. He used to tell the old preacher, revivalist Billy Sunday, he'd say, you know, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. Because everybody get upset with him. And the churches and the preachers be upset with him when he come into town to preach. And he said, well, if the old cat would turn around and go the right way, I'd be petting him in the right way.
Amen?
Amen. That's how I feel. But if I'm preaching the Bible and somebody gets, you know, I'm petting them the wrong way, if I'm preaching the Bible, they're the ones that need to turn around. Verses 40 and 41, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him, and when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Without requiring anything but faith, Jesus responded. I get a little bit emotional when I read this story every time. Because I was not only spiritually blind and lost and on my way to hell when he saved me. But then a few years ago, I went blind. Legally blind. And you talk to anybody that's lost their vision. Anyone like Sister Martha, born without vision. And the idea that Jesus will one day heal every one of us. He'll heal every spiritually blind person who approaches him by faith.
Amen.
And one day, all the physically blind are going to be healed. Now, I had had vision all my life and lost it for a couple of years. And then one day, we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And then one day, woke up and I could see again.
Praise God.
Amen.
And my doctor said, I told him, I said, well, I give the Lord all the credit. And he said, you might as well, because I didn't do anything. All he did was send me home and deal with it. I love the guy. I mean, he's a lost man. I prayed for him. I witnessed to him. What's the guy's name? I once called him Einstein. Who's the guy that didn't kill himself? Jeffrey Epstein, yeah. His name was Epstein. And I hope he gets saved, because right now he's spiritually blind. He's an eye doctor, but spiritually blind, rejecting his Messiah. He's a Jewish man. But, well, you saw it in the little video thing, but it says there in verse 41, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then what's it say in verse 42? And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Receive thy sight. The Creator restores His creation with His words. How many of you know there was once upon a time there was nothing and then God spoke? And what He spoke is, you could spend the rest of your life looking through a telescope and you won't see it all. You could spend the rest of your life looking through a microscope and you won't see it all. You can spend the rest of your life with binoculars. You can spend the rest of your life traveling in a ship, flying in airplanes, going all over the world, and in one lifetime, just on this planet, you won't see everything He made. Amen. And He made it with words. Amen. His words. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing. Boom. Word. Bam. There was no big bang in the sense that scientists want you to believe, but there was a God who spoke and everything came into existence. It's probably like a whisper. It wasn't even loud. No need for a bang. Amen. And then he says in verse 42, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now think about this. His faith in Jesus, not his faith in his faith. And this goes further than just the, there's the whole metaphysical cults like Christian Science. And they believe that just by having the right frame of mind and thoughts and speaking, that you can create your own reality. If you're sick, it's only because you're thinking wrong and you need to speak and speak your own healing. Well, that's taught among the Word Faith churches, among Pentecostals and Charismatics. Same thing. It's also the Robert Schuller, Norman Vincent Peale crowd and the Joel Osteen crowd and all of them. They call it positive confession, word of faith. But it goes way beyond that. Even beyond all that I just told you. Well, of course, the whole New Age movement, you know, and all that. But if you listen to the testimonies of the majority of Christians that you ever see on the news or on Christian programming and such, they will not tell you that's their faith in Jesus Christ. They will tell you, what got you through that? My faith. Yeah. Wait a minute. Your faith? What got you through that? Jesus gets you through it. And you should tell people your faith is in Jesus. Not my faith got me through it. But that's what I'm telling you. You go on all these Fox News and even CBN and go on their news sites and everything, and you watch or listen to these interviews with professing Christians, especially the famous, you know, the actors and actresses, which is very rare, but it happens, and politicians who claim to be Christians. And we thank God for everyone who's saved. We're not bad-mouthed. That's why I'm not naming names and telling you to write letters or anything like that, but it's just keep an eye out. And you'll notice, you'll see this, where people will say, what got you through that? My faith. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And then sometimes you'll hear people say they're Christians and give credit to their faith. And then if you listen long enough, you'll find out they're not really Christians. That their profession of faith in their faith is their religion. They really aren't believers in Jesus Christ. Well, this blind man didn't have faith in his faith. This blind man didn't have faith in himself. This blind man had faith in the Creator himself, Jesus. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. The blind man here, now he's been healed by faith, by grace through faith, not of works. You notice that he didn't do anything to earn it. Well, he's now exemplifying the Christian life for us. Look at the text there. He followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That's what our life is supposed to be like. I cringe when I hear this. People say, I don't preach with words. I just show my life. Then there's St. Francis of Assisi was credited with saying, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. That's unbiblical.
Amen.
You should preach the gospel.
Amen.
You use the words God gave you in God's word. His words are how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And then you, after presenting that, you are to call on men to repent and believe that. That's the Apostle Paul's ministry, Acts 20:21. You should call on men who have repented and believed the gospel, according to Acts 26:20, quoting the Apostle Paul, to do works meet for repentance. So the repentance isn't works. Repentance should produce works. But that's not to be saved because you are saved. That's not repentance, but it is because of repentance. And so if you're going to follow the Apostle Paul, you're going to preach that gospel. You're going to call on men to repent and believe that gospel. And then, once they have, then you're going to try to encourage them to demonstrate their faith by their works. Again, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then everybody stops there. But the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he is before ordained that we should walk in them. That's really the truth behind predestination, is that he knows those who will believe on Jesus Christ, and he has ordained, preordained, that those who believe on Christ should do good works.
Praise God.
So the response of Bart, he received his sight, Bartimaeus, that's what they'd call him for short. My name's Gregory. Only call me that when I'm in trouble. He received his sight. He followed Jesus. Glorified God with his mouth.
Amen.
And glorified God with his life.
Amen.
He wasn't all talk. People can see this man's been changed. And it's not just the fact he can see now. This man's been changed. And, well, I hear it all the time. People are hindered in their coming to the Lord. Now, they will be without excuse when they stand before the Lord on Judgment Day. But people are hindered by people, others, who call themselves Christian, but don't act like it. And I'm thankful for every one of you who are faithful in attending church services that we have here. Faithful in coming to different events. I'm thankful if you're reading your Bible and praying and witnessing even. But if you're a big jerk, you can forget about it. People don't want to hear what you have to say if they don't see you live what you claim to believe. And that can be, you can also be as nice as can be, but they maybe hear your language using God's name in vain, or they're dropping F-bombs or something like that. Or it could be that you're dishonest and they see you cheating people. Or maybe they just see that you're a liar and you're always lying. Or maybe it is that you claim that Jesus Christ is the most important person in your life, but you spend all your time pleasing yourself. Everything you do all day long is about you. They don't see you really doing anything to serve the Lord and to minister to others. So, we could go on and on with all the ways in which we Christians kill our testimony. This guy had a good testimony.
Amen.
People glorified God. Now, let me tell you, and warn you, especially when you're living in the time that we're living in now, but keep in mind that you have to listen to the criticism, because then there are an awful lot of people who will criticize you and even say, with Christians like that, I don't want to be a Christian.
Yeah.
But it's because you're doing right. Because you're standing for what's right.
Amen.
So you have to be discerning. There have been people who told me that simply because I oppose abortion and gay marriage and communism, that, well, with people like you call themselves Christian, I have no desire to be a Christian. My response to them is simply this. You can use that as an excuse, but when you stand before God, I have on His Word, He's going to tell you that my positions were right.
Amen.
And you are a fool to reject Jesus Christ based on the fact that there are Christians who stand against wickedness. But you go around talking to enough people, you'll find they'll use Christians standing up for what's right as their reason for not wanting to be saved. Well, people like you are in heaven, I don't want to be there. I said, well, you would be very unhappy in heaven, because it's a place of righteousness.
Yeah.
It's a place where there's no sin. So you're not going to be happy in heaven if you're not one of His children. You're not going to be happy if you're a child of disobedience and love wickedness. The only thing that's going to save you is if you decide to repent and believe the gospel. That's when you're going to like being saved. So that's how a genuinely saved man or woman will respond to being saved by grace through faith. This is the way this blind man. So just ask a couple questions in closing. Does your thankfulness show in your life? Does your thankfulness show, or do people look at you? Well, I think I put it here. Or does your life look like a disease that no one would want? Before I became a Christian, I was the problem, and I loved sin. I was a wicked dirtbag who should have burned in hell. That's me. You don't have to go around telling everybody that, but I'll tell you that. I was awful. I was a sinner, and I was good at it. And I deserved to burn in hell. But there were some Christians that when I'd see their life and how they lived, I'd think, whew, I would not want to be a Christian if that's what it means to be a Christian. And if you are living your life either in hypocrisy, or if you're a walking depression sign for everybody, walking around saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not about me today. And then you can be just like me. They're going to run from you. But then there are some people who were saved and had the joy, 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 joy down in their heart. And they'd come and witness to me, and I couldn't help it. I'd always think, boy, they sure do seem happy. They sure do seem to have peace. My life stinks. And it'd make you think. In other words, don't get in the way of people getting saved. Your life should be something that doesn't repulse people. And you can do that by a number of ways. If you're stupid with money, if you're always saying stupid things and doing stupid things, and people just say, just get that guy away from me. I don't want what they got. But you can use the wisdom God gives you in His Word. You can be dedicated to serving the Lord. You can sacrifice. You can be selfless and so forth. And you'll find people more willing to listen to you when you present the gospel. I want to close over in Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Close out Titus chapter 2. Now, I'll have you read the odd verses, so you can start right with me in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, and teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, you see that? Let me say it again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now that's some good preaching right there. I think I'll keep you over an hour and go into that. I mean, you know, all these people say it's all just about getting hell insurance, you know. And the Bible says that he has saved us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It says there in verse 14 that he wanted to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. It's right there. I think that describes the blind man. You come to Jesus as you are so that he can turn you into something that brings him glory. There are too many Christians who think that just as I am is a song that is describing how you live the Christian life. It's not. You come just as you are, but you don't stay just as you are. Amen. And it's not just you're saved and now your name's on the book. It's you come as you are so he can then transform you by the renewing of your mind, and he'll change what you are. People say, God loves me just like I am. Well, he loved you enough to save you just as you are, but no, he doesn't like what you are. I don't care who, everybody in this room, he does not like everything about you the way you are right now. He wants to make you better. He wants to change you. He wants to conform you to the image of his son. If you think that you are where you're supposed to be without changing at all, then you think you are the equivalent of Jesus Christ right now. Stand for us so we can adore thee. Wow. Who in here is conformed, past tense, to the image of Jesus Christ? Anybody? Any takers? That means you need to change.
Amen.
That means you need to submit to God and let him do some work in you.
Amen.
And yes, I preach this to the mirror as much as I'm preaching it to you. I know good and well I got a long way to go. And we all have to conform to his work in us, conforming us to the image of his son. So let's sing that song, understanding it's just as I am, and not stay as you are. Amen?
Come to
sing to the July birthdays. We have Brother Doug in the back, his 20-something. Nick's online, his birthday. Anybody else in July? Anybody? Any onliners that we know of? All right. Well, as far as in the house, we're going to sing to Doug. Everybody sing to Doug. I want everybody to look at him, smile, blow kisses, do everything. We've got some really nice cake downstairs afterwards too, so sing out loud. Thank you. Go ahead, Maestro.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Doug. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. You took the gift of salvation, and now you have two.
Yeah, we love you. And Nick and anybody else out there we didn't know of that had the July birthdays. Let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. I'm waving over here to Nick over there. All right, say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.